Okay, this is Perek Beis and Hilchos Zechiyah Matana. I'm bringing this section of the Rambam to an end. Final halachas have to do with the Shemirah, the person who's on his deathbed, and when he gives a gift. Halacha Shemirah Shamar Bnei Ploni Yerusheni. Let's say Shemirah says, my son, let's say Shimon, right? He's the one who should inherit my stuff. Or is a Yerush Oso Levado. Only he inherits it. Well, Yerushu Sharbanim. The other kids that he might have do not inherit. Vechinim Amar Abbas Ben Abano. So Ach Ben Achin. So too, if he isolates a daughter among other daughters, or a brother among other brothers, or Shar Yerush and other inheritors, such a distinction works. If a healthy person does this, it doesn't mean anything. The Shchemira says, my property should give to this guy first and then afterwards to this guy. So the second guy only gets anything left over from the first guy. But if the first person was actually an inheritor, meaning that was his status. For instance, let's say he's one of the sons. The second guy gets nothing. Because any expression used to be giving him a gift, right, is really to an heir. When it comes to inheritance, there's no end to it. Even if the giver says, and after him, it should be given to so and so. The inheritor gets basically first dibs, which means everything. But if someone healthy gives a gift in this way, he says, my property should be given to you and after you to this guy. So the second guy only gets what's left over from the first, whether he was appropriate to be an inheritor or not. Let's say there is one exception. If the Shchemira says that my property should be given to you and after you to this guy, by a rishon royal liyosho, right? And the first one is an appropriate inheritor. Upiresh amar lo mishum rishon yosan lachash in la hefsek ela matana vere hifsatia. So what does he say? The giver basically says openly, I'm not giving you this property as inheritance that never stops, but as a gift, and I'm setting a type of limit on it. So then, hasheni konen mamashai rishon. The second guy is able to acquire that which is left over from the first. If he got there, you know, the most like yachlish. That's like if the guy, the shlimmer gave the money over to a third party. Or he said, give my kids a shekel every week, not because of inheritance, and he knows some land that I'm giving to them. What do you call it? And therefore, afterwards, whatever remains of the estate after the death should be given to so-and-so. They only give them a shekel per week, even though it's not enough for them. In contrast to what we saw last time. Let's say Shchemira says, "My property should be given to this guy, and after him to this guy." If the first guy dies, the second guy gets it all. The second guy dies, and then they go to the inheritors of the second guy. If the second guy dies while the first one's alive, then the property is given to the heirs of the first person. So even though the second person receives only that which the first person leaves over, also the Rishon Limkar Vliten Gufo. Right, the first guy is not allowed to sell or to give the property over at all. Rather, you can eat the produce until he dies, and the second guy is able to take over. However, let's say the first person is over this, so to speak, and this directive, and he goes ahead and sells and then gives it as a gift. The second guy can't come along and take it from the purchasers. Because the second guy is only entitled to. He's not entitled to the property itself, nor to any of the produce, only that which is left over. Now, anyone who advises the first person, limkor, to sell it, nikra rasha, is considered an evil person. If you even if there were if the property contained servants, about rishon and the first one was granted freedom, okalim, or items vason tachrich on the mace, and they were made into, let's say, shrouds to wrap a dead body in, maisekyamim, the actions are considered to be valid. I'll get another one. This is apply. When the first guy sold, or gave a gift to others. About Rishon, but if the first guy sold, or gave as a gift to his son, to one of his inheritors, then he hasn't done anything. So too, if he gave a shimera gift, afilu even to others, he hasn't done anything. As we've seen over and over again, the gift that's given by a shimera doesn't actually express itself until after he dies. And of course, in this case, after he dies, the second guy is considered to be the one to acquire it. Let's say in the situations we just discussed, if the first guy first person to receive, right, has owes a debt or has got to pay his wife the amount of the ketubah. Uvo the bezdin and go to a bezdin liparea to go ahead and collect the debt and the property. Afapi shaharishon kayam, even though the first recipient is still alive, a bezdin magvin osam migufan bezdin will not take the stuff away from the debt from the property itself. Elamina paris of only from the produce. Shamalham, then they measure it out. The first guy dies. Let's say the person who's owed the debt or the wife comes to collect from the property. They don't take anything from them. Even they made like an escrow guy or he designated for his wife. They don't take anything from this property. Why? Because they belong to the second person as discussed in the above case. Now, Shkinrash Amal Isha, Pnuya. Let's say Shkinrash says to a woman who's unmarried, Nechasai Lach the Acharecha. So he says, my property goes to you, and then after you to this guy, and then she marries, okay? Balokeahu, right? So now the husband is considered to be a purchaser. Benishin Motim Yadabal, and the second guy can't take from the husband. Amar, what do you call it? Imamar La Kishinisua. Now, if the woman was married with the Shkinrash said, Nechasai Lach the Acharecha, Umesa. Let's say he said after she's married, the Shkinrash says it's to you, and after you to so and so, the second person, I will see me, and then dies. She dies. Hasheni mosi mi'adabal. Then the second guy can take from the husband. She came as zachsam nechassam atanizeh. Since she was entitled to the property based on this condition, kashin desu when she's married, nimsik ilu amrulad. As if he said beperish openly, acharecha yikne ploni lobal. That's the second guy would acquire these things and not your husband. Therefore, vigachim machra nechassam elu kashin takas vayla. Therefore, if she sold the property, the items when she was still married, umesan she dies tachas vayla while she's married, yamdu nechassam bi'alokeach. Then the property stays in the hand of the purchaser. She'im yotzi abal mi'alokeach the nation machra kashin nesua harayashini mosi mi'alabal. The reason why is if the husband took the property from the purchaser because his wife sold it while she was married, the second person is given the right to go ahead and take the property from the husband, as we saw already. The purchaser can go back and take it from the second guy. Because she sold to him, and he only has that which is left over from the first guy. And the only person, so to speak, who what do you call it, that paid money for it is the purchaser, so to speak. That's why it goes to him. Now, there's a story that happened where a person said, "Let all my property give to my mother." And only after that to my inheritors, my heirs. Vaisolo bas nisua. So he had a daughter who was married. Umesa habas b'chai baila, and the woman, the daughter died during the lifetime of her husband. Uvechaya im avia, as well as in the lifetime of her father's mother. Va'achar mesa hazakena, and then only after that the older woman died. So they said the husband does not get the daughter's husband does not get the property. Because it really belonged to the wife. And that's why the woman had no rights to it until after she died. About ben obas, let's say the daughter had a son or daughter. Okay, how yorshin then the inheritors would get it. Yorshin, because the implication is when they say heir, it could even mean the heirs of the heirs. Ilu amar ukushitamos, but if she, what do you call it? If the dying guy said when the older woman dies, right? Harehein labiti me'achshav, then the estate becomes, so to speak, retroactively to my daughter. Hayabal Yorish or son. Then the husband will get it. Achamisas Ishto when his wife dies. Okay, lucky him. Another long situation like this. Hakosin Chasal the Nol Achamoso. The person has a document that says my property goes to my son, right? What do you call it? And someone else after his death. Excuse me. Achamoso, right? He's giving the property to his son after his death. All right, Goshal Ben, Mizamin. So then the property itself becomes the son from the time that the document is written, and the benefit is retained by the father until the father dies. The father can't sell the property because he's already given it to his son. But the son can't sell either because it's still the father still has rights over it. Mesa of Inyach Peros Mikhubar Makarka. Let's say the father dies and there's still like trees attached to the ground, like with produce or ancient banot, the shalben, they belong to the son. They should die to them, korba. Because again, the person feels very close to his son. Hayutlushin, let's say they're picked, oshegiyah, or they're ready to be harvested. Harinshal Yoshin, they go to the inheritors. Avar Avamahar, Mechurin on Shiamus. Now, let's say the father violates his directive, sells the property. The sale is a good sale until he dies, because Shiamus Av, But when the father dies, motzi ben mi'alkuchos, then the son can come along and take it from the purchasers. Again, if there's fruits attached to the ground like trees, so we measure it out for the purchasers, and the son gives them money for it. But let's say they're detached or ready to be harvested, they belong to the purchaser. Now let's say the son violates this directive and sells it. Now the purchaser is in a bad position. He gets nothing until the father dies. If the son sells it during the lifetime of his av, and then the son dies, then after that the father dies. When the father dies, the purchaser completes a transaction. The father only gets the produce. And as we've seen, the purchasing of the produce is not the same thing as purchasing the body of the property itself. Let's say there's a contract written about a gift given by someone who's healthy, that the gift takes is going into effect from today until after the person dies. It's considered like the gift of Shimarash, Inokone, and Lakamisa, that the transaction doesn't take place after his death. Shemashman Dvarim Ilu, Sha'afalpi, Shekana Guf Mayom. So it's implied that even though this is purchased from today, Inu Zochabo, he has no rights to it, the Ochoperos El Akamisa. And he can't take, he can't eat the fruits either until after he dies. Halacha Tezvav, Shtar Matana, Shekasuva, Shigikna Poni, Sade Ponis Akamisa. Let's say a document states that there's a gift, and that this person should acquire this field after the death of the person giving it. Whether or not the document actually mentions this being Kenyan. And since it has a date, and the date indicates that the transfer of this property should take place during the lifetime, so it's clear that the time is indicating that the property should be transferred while he's alive, and he doesn't take possession of it until after the guy dies. Because if his intention was for it to be purchased to as a transaction after he dies, lo yakasa bozman, you want to put the time in there, you want to put a date in. If you got there for apishin kasa bo mehayom ulakamisa, therefore, if it doesn't say what they call from today and after the person's death, kona lakamisa, then it's purchased after his death. Vezesha kosa mehol matnos damakoros meachshav, and the fact that that's why you write in all documents in Europe from now, the apishin shpatar zman, even though the date isn't there, larviach adavar, to make it clear. Right, so it's there to make everything clear, even though it's unnecessary to include that in the contract. A healthy person gives a gift and says in the document that during my lifetime and in my death, that's considered a complete gift from life, because it says as long as I'm alive. What about the fact he says and my death? It's saying that now and forever. And it's considered like an embellishment of what's contained inside the deed. The righteous people of Anshi Maisa, will never accept a gift. Rather, they rely on God, right, and not on people who are generous. That's why it says, one who hates gifts will live. That ends Perek Beis, that ends Hilchos Zechiyah Matana, and we'll continue with Hilchos Shekhinim next time.